Blog Talk Radio. All the waves fall away. Don't know what to say. No, I'm running out of time. Slipping like sand through an hourglass in and of itself. It's making me lose my mind. On dry land, loving shielding me. Hold my hand, pour into me once again. The life that I have, it depends on it. Oh, I still need you. I still need you. I still need you. I still need you. Wonder what it does for me. It's in my eyes, I know I'm alive, but I'm working overtime. Running for my life, looking for supplies, don't know why, too afraid to take the dive. Feel the cold washing over me, search my soul. You know the reasons I can't let go. The life that I have, it depends on it. Oh, I still need you. I still need you. I still need you. I still need you. Wonder what it does for me.
Good evening. Good. Beautiful evening for all involved. Welcome to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is War Council. This is our end of the year. I'm going to try to eke out a top 10 of the most disrespectful things to happen this year while we move towards the positive. And we're going to have a free and open and real conversation around these certain topics that we'll bring up during the course of the conversation. It is the end of the year. We wish everybody a happy new year that's coming up. But more importantly, we're going to let our esteemed panel of conscious creatives come and get at it and talk about it and be free about what we have in our conversation. We have some super dope people here. A lot of your regular folks that you used to listen to that are here rocking out with their socks out because they are super dope people, of course. And yes, this is Earth, Wind, and Fire, because I'm playing Earth, Wind, and Fire, because I needed that old nostalgia to remind me of certain things. And when you hear certain music, it reminds you of certain things, and this reminds you of my childhood. And so during the summertime, playing this while eating like an orange creamsicle, best thing in the world. So I'm playing this song because I like it. But more importantly, let's get to the business of the business, and let you know that these folks are super dynamic. They've been rocking with me all year, and I think this year on War Council has been super fantastic and phenomenal. The things that we've covered, the conversations that we've had, the things that we've able to get here, the incredible vulnerability that they've shared in bringing you information. Not for you to live by, but as a parable for you to change your life. It's incredible. And this is what we call the community change agents that we need that discuss things around relationships. And they are phenomenal. And I'm very glad to have them and rocking with me. And you should surround yourself with people where you're not always the smartest person in the room. So do that so you can grow. And so I love how War Council has grown. I look forward to the future. I look forward to, stretching our legs out and doing some other things because we can do that. And it's been evolving and growing and changing. And each person is pretty fantastic. So what I'm going to do that's a little bit different, I'm going to unmute mics and I'm going to speak kindly about every single person who really participates here in War Council. So if you're not on War Council, you haven't been to War Council, then please don't feel offended because you got to be here in order to get the compliments. But first person who I'm going to open up is Brother Wendell Berry. Brother Wendell Berry is our resident expert in being eloquent as fuck. More importantly, you have to understand that when he says things, they make absolute sense. And he can do it from the financial way and he can do it from the relationship way. And his experience has always been dope when adding it to the War Council. And this brother is so solid in so many different ways. And we're glad to have him. Wendell, are you there?
Yes, yes, my brother. I'm glad to be here. It's Wendell. Have no fear. The voice is here. The options are many, but the choice is clear.
I didn't pay him to say that. He did that on his own. but one of the super dopest brothers that you're going to meet. And he has this thing for meeting up with strangers. The strangers be like, yeah, we're going to party with you. I'm like, oh. He do have the party beard, though. He got the party beard. He got that. He got the party beard. All right. So we're glad to see him. Listen. So, hold on, let me throw this in the background. That's not even what I wanted. I wanted this one. All right. So, next person we're going to go to, we call her The Voice. Sweet brings her experience to the whole thing when she can make it. She had to take a couple of weeks off because she was in a play, but she's like Frick to my Frack. She rocks out with her socks out, jams out with her. Never mind what I was about to say. But, more importantly, you'll never find someone who is a sweet, who basically puts everything on the line, speaks the truth from her own experience, and is never afraid to lend a helping hand. I give you Miss Angel Kim. Angel Kim, are you there?
Hey, my hubby. I'm here. Hey, I missed y'all.
Well, we missed you too. You know, we're going to keep opening up these mics and just keep giving these flowers real quick while we do that. So we're going to go from you. We're going to go over to Philly to one of our best friends in the entire world. Dope person altogether. Super incredible. Always wise and wisdom and super spiritual. The very lovely La Perla Negra, also known as Danielle Chaney. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you now. I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Happy end of the year.
I mean, yeah. Like, it's happy end of the year. This is what we're doing. How's it rocking out? Then we'll go from you to Virginia to the veritable. Very cool and super dope. Always with a great heart, always with a great spirit. Miss Lisa Lips. Lisa Lips, are you there? Hello? Hello?
Hey, I'm sorry. I hit mute and I didn't know it. I'm here. Hey.
All right. What's happening, Miss Lisa Lips? How you doing? Same new year.
Yes, it is. Happy almost new year.
All right. Well, we're here. We're rocking. And we're going to go to one of my male best friends in the entire world, Mr. I see you. You fucking up. Love your stuff. You fucking up. My favorite dude who always keeps me on my toes, make sure that I keep everything straight, tells me when I'm being ridiculous. Mr. Dawood Muhammad. Dawood, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
I'm rocking. We rocking. All right.
I never know if I put myself on mute or not.
So we're going to go from you to our Texas Titan, also known as Quinita Ramel White, a.k.a. Joan, our favorite, always kicking it when you need to get kicked, putting it down for the peoples and rocking out.
Good evening.
Joan, are you there?
I'm here. Almost Happy New Year to y'all.
It's almost Happy New Year. All right. For the record, I believe I see you, Jared, and I see you, Sir Lawrence. Before we open up your mics, we're going to do the regular people, and then we're going to bring y'all in, all right? So don't feel that we're not ignoring you. We see you. We're just going to talk about some stuff first, and then we're going to bring y'all in. Okay, so hey, party people, it's been a year. Man, we're here. We're rocking. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
All right.
Yeah,
we're here. I'm trying to figure out. All right, so let me throw in our traditional, what's Christmas music in here? I forgot. I put mad Christmas music in here. Like, wow. Right, let's go here. All right, there we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a year of rocking with War Council. How do y'all feel about it?
It's been a great year.
It has been. I'm kind of the new chick here. I don't even remember how I ended up on War Council, but it's been very eye-opening. I feel like I learned something every time we come together.
Okay. So what was so eye-opening about it? Tell me.
I'm from a small town in America, and there weren't many intellectual conversations. So being able to actually have points of view and talk about things outside of the everyday norm has been very stimulating this year.
Hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
I have definitely enjoyed the conversations that have been had on this panel, the dialogue on the discussions, and just the way y'all interact with one another. I'm honored to be asked to be a part of it and join it. So I've absolutely loved it. It's definitely a different experience for myself, though.
Hmm. Anyone else?
No, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. So.
I feel you and I understand. As a matter of fact, hold on. Let me bring Sir Lawrence in here. Because Sir Lawrence has been, he sat through at least four or five different ones. So I might as well bring him in here too. Sir Lawrence, you there?
Indeed, sir. How are you, Mr. Hunt?
I'm good. I see you making the rounds, sir. I'm like, every time I turn around, I was like, oh, Sir Lawrence is going live. Sir Lawrence is over here. Sir Lawrence is on Clubhouse. I was like, wow. So my man was like, man, I'm going to let this rip. I'm all over the place. And then he shows up on War Council.
Yeah, and to spread a little fertilizer, you know.
That's how shit makes shit grow.
Just like that.
This is my grandfather always said. My grandfather always said shit makes shit grow. Yeah. What is that shit? Why we got put this shit down? Cause shit makes shit grow. That's why.
and you might look. You might want to be honest about it. You know what I'm saying?
This is true. All right, so I know Van Metals is in the background busy. I don't know if he wanted his mic open, but he didn't say anything of the sort. But then again, I didn't check back channel. So if anybody could tell me if he wanted something done back channel, please let me know so I could fix it. But so Wendell, man, you've been doing this for a year, bro. How's it feel?
Yeah, it feels good, man. You know, from the time that you and I had that initial conversation and until now, I find myself enjoying the space because I've gone from like a social media minefield to a mind field, you know, where there's a bunch of out there that a bunch of minutia and mediocrity and muck and mire that I have to maneuver to come into a space where the minds are meaningful and there's meat on the meal. So, I found myself enjoying being in this space because my mind is stimulated as opposed to being degraded by all of the meaningless minutia that's out there to be consumed in social media streets. So, I'm glad that I can come to a place where the food is being prepared and it's just right, as opposed to this microwave mentality that's out here. So, yeah, I'm digging being in the space, especially for an entire year.
Oh, it's super dope. This is super dope. Quinita Ramel White, I gotta hear from you. Come on now, what you think?
It's been a great year. It's been a year of growth. I think that we've hit a lot of exciting topics and we've hit a lot of necessary topics, and some of the necessary topics, you know, lasted. They were worth more than one or two visits. And so I think we've covered a lot of ground and, you know, looking forward to what comes about in 2022. I'm nervous and excited at the same time.
All right. It is. Matter of fact, I just got the back channel from Van. So we're going to be cautious, Van. We're going to be cautious. We're going to work it out. So hopefully you might be able to contribute a word or two. Van, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, everybody. How's everyone doing?
Hey, Van Meadows.
The gang's all here.
Hey, Van.
Gang's all here.
Good to hear everyone. For the last War Council of 2021, my goodness, man, we've covered a lot of topics. The one thing that I will say that I've really enjoyed about the War Council is the ability to be able to learn and grow from others' viewpoints. Whether I agree or disagree, there is a certain level of knowledge that presents itself in what everyone is saying. So I appreciate you all lending your knowledge to the topics. And, man, I've learned a lot from y'all. So I thank y'all.
Listen, I think one of the most important thing is that there's a certain energy that happens every time we gather. And that energy is so pure and cool. It's like one of the dopest energies that you can have when you're in a good space with good people talking about things and really being able to have that that space and that ability to be vulnerable and to let ourselves be free, you know, in that. So I truly appreciate every single one of you for rocking with me, rocking with the Pippi Radio Universe, rocking, coming here and making that commitment to doing things. You know, I have lots of conversations on the side and things of that sort that's happening. But, you know, the one thing that happens is that more people listen to War Council than I actually thought. Just people are like, yeah, I heard this on such and such. You know, and inadvertently, we're not giving advice, we're just explaining what our existence is, and people are taking that and applying it to however they want to apply it. But more importantly, we're here and we're rocking, and people actually love to hear smart people of color talk and talk about their experiences, because that's how we truly learn from each other. And I've learned a lot from every single one of you, and I've had really dope conversations with you in War Council and without War Council, you know, except for Sir Lawrence, because I hadn't really talked to you directly. But that being said, since we're talking about that, what was your favorite War Council show this entire year? And we're going to go through everybody. So we're going to start with Van and move our way up. So Van, what was your favorite War Council show and why?
Oh man, I hate to be that guy, sound cliché, but I have to be honest, every single War Council was my favorite show. And the reason being is because we were able to dive into some of the most heated trending topics, and everyone lended their opinions, their thoughts, and like I said, you know, earlier, it's just about the ability to be able to grow, and each War Council show has given me that opportunity in some form or fashion of my life to just grow. So I have to say that I enjoyed each show. There wasn't one show that I enjoyed over the other. I enjoyed every show.
All right, so Joan, what was your favorite show?
I think my favorite show was this year. That it may have been from the earlier, like January, February, when we were hitting hard with Jada and August and mental health and relationships and responsibility, you know, and different views of the way we view women's mental health and men's mental health and, you know, emotional heart health. I think those I'm probably running a few of them together, but those were my favorite, my absolute favorite shows.
Well, I can definitely read a few of these that we did. Go to the handy dandy Fifi Radio Show IG. Hold on, let me go over there. So, wow, there's a lot of shows. Jesus, there's a lot of shows. All right, so hold on. All right, so some of the shows that we did this year, just to refresh and remind people, hold on, we're going to go back to, hold on. Let me see. Oh, yeah, wait a second. Wait, that's, no, that was in 2020. So we're going to go to... Let me see. Still 2020. You know, that's a lot of shows. When you go through, you're looking through, you're like, damn, there's a lot of shows. Jesus Christ, there's a lot of shows. Oh, wow. Oh, okay, I might have skipped over that. Hold on. Let's see. I believe one of the first things we did Wookum Panub, The Reasons Why You Can't Get Any. We did that. Wookum Panub, The Reason Why You Can't Get Any. We did Damage. We did Damage, a discussion of damage that happens in relationships, cheating versus arguments versus fighting versus deal breakers. That was a dope show. We also did toxic interactions, relationship, and sex. We also did, let me see, we also did, hold on, let me look. Man, why are you telling me I'd be doing too many shows, man? This is crazy. We did emotional PTSD.
I would never tell you that ever in life.
Yeah. So we did emotional PTSD and energy vampires. I would particularly remember that. That was a great fucking show. Because we were talking about energy vampires and all that good shit that was happening. Then we did Damage Part 2. We did Trauma. Deep discussion of trauma, how it affects relationships, bonding versus relationships, families, and healing. We did, let me see. Wow. This is a lot of stuff, man. This thing is like full. We did, what are your rules of engagement? Huh?
I can jump in and say that it was the two damaged shows that we did, and then you were talking about rules of engagement. Those were like my favorite ones.
Yeah, Damage was serious. Damage and rules of engagement, you know, and I think that some of that stuff is one of the things that when we talk about disrespect, we can talk about some of the things that happened during this year. All right, so I'm going to go to Dawood. What was your favorite show?
My favorite show was Damage. You know, I remembered that before you gave the list, just for the record. But one of my favorite shows, Damage 1 and 2. Because I think that Damage is the crux of why we have problems with our relationship. It's the reason why we can't unite the way we want to, because Damage gets in our way. So I think the way we all worked that out and stuff that we said and questions being asked was really dope. And that's something that we may want to revisit under another name some
of the time. I mean, yeah, we could definitely talk about that. All right. So Lisa Litz, you were new, so you came in on the latter half of things. So what was your favorite show?
I actually came in on the emotional PTSD show. That was my first. And it immediately opened my eyes to a whole different perspective of things. So I have to say where I started is my favorite.
Okay, that's what's up. Danielle, what about you?
Oh, man. Asking me to pick one, that's like trying to blanket the sun. It's impossible. And all I can say is each and every show has been very therapeutic and eye-opening for a lot of us, and it has allowed for major transparency for the majority of not just the callers, but us on the council as well. So I can't really pick one. I love them all.
So we're going to give the blanket. No, he said we're going to throw the blankie on that. Throw the blankie on it. Angel Kim, what was yours? You're going to throw the blankie on it. Come on, throw the blankie. What's your? I like everything. Throw the blankie. That's a new term we invent. We say we like it all, throw the blankie. Why are we covering everything? Throw the blankie. We just can't get out here and get butt naked. We just got to throw the blankie. All right, let me stop. I love Danielle. Danielle would be like, you know stuff be sticking, we be saying. Be like, yo, what happened? I had to throw the blankie on it. It was everything. It was everything. All right. Anyway, Angel Kim, what was your favorite show? Angel Kim.
She's just here a minute ago.
I know. She probably in her back channel, because you know, Lord knows everybody writing, texting and stuff like that. So Wendell, you already told me what yours was. All right. So let's get down to the business. Let's get down to the business of the business. What in social media, we had some really disrespectful things happen this year. Some of it became subject for what we talked about, the board council. And some of the stuff we could talk about, some of the most disrespectful stuff, this is what I call a cleansing. We get to talk about, we get to talk shit for about 40 minutes about the most disrespectful shit that happened in social media, in the culture, and in relationships. We get to say it. We get to say whatever we're going to say because we're going to cleanse it. We're going to get it all out before the new year. We're gonna cleanse ourselves. We're gonna purge the most disrespectful stuff and not take it into the new year with us and not do anything else like that, because you know some of the stuff is good, and some of the shows that we did, Damage, Toxic, you know, there's a lot of disrespectful shit in that. Tons of it. So I'm going to ask this year offhand, can anyone name the most disrespectful thing that you've seen in social media that we covered, and that you, to this day you be like, oh, that shit was disrespectful as fuck. I don't even understand. So, anybody?
Seen too much disrespectful stuff, but to happen to me personally, there's a particular person that came on my page. Public page, and I'm going to say this, and I had to block them, and I think y'all should remember this time, where they said, my grades, when I have a conversation with your grades, that right there, I was done. I've never
hit anybody. Is that filthy or disrespectful? Yeah, my grades. What is that conversation with your grades?
It's gross.
It'd be slick if it was in a poem, though. But it's got a girl. Yeah, I'm going to rub my grave shoes against your grave shoes.
My grave want to have a conversation with your grave. Excuse me? Oh, no.
Yo. All right, anyone else? Yo, that's mad. Yo, you should have somebody walk up in a bar and be like, yo, run up on you, Joan. Yo, Joan. Yo, my grades want to have a conversation with your grades.
It's going to be devastating. I don't even have
grades. Oh, my God.
She'd be like, I'll never tell. You're never gonna find out.
So this just happened yesterday. The disrespect was, man, I got an unsolicited penis pic. I didn't even know we were still doing that close to 2022. unsolicited, I mean just like was excited that it woke up in the morning and sent that thing, and I was like, why? Who is this? My eyes were still cloudy. This is not what social media is for.
Just I don't know. That's probably the effect that he wanted it to have. He had cloudy eyes.
Listen, but they didn't. It didn't clear them up at all. You see what I'm saying? Like sometimes when your eyes have something to focus on, they really focus in. They didn't. My eyes were still cloudy.
Dang.
I went on to wash my face as normal. I was like, baby, you didn't do nothing for me but interrupt my sleep with this ding.
Wait, it didn't have no Wi-Fi.
I mean, got blocked on the principle. It didn't even have a we factor to it. I was like, what are we doing?
Dang.
I was like, this is an irrelevant thing if I ever saw one.
Oh, wow.
But it was irrelevant. She said, she even stopped. She said, I just washed my face as usual. impressive, baby. You woke up in the morning to not impress me. To not impress me.
Listen, the level of unimpressed that I was.
Oh, my God.
I was like, this is not a way to end my year.
I'd be mad if you sent him a, thank you, try again.
Listen, try someone else. I literally sent unimpressed. Not impressed at all.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. That's like Kung Fu Panda level 0.
Yeah. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. That is disrespectful as fuck. That's disrespectful. Unsolicited dick pics is disrespectful as fuck. So let's count that one. Unsolicited. Oh man. You know, but I can see Joe looking at the phone and then just putting the phone down, just washing the face. just like ding, nigga. Be like, damn.
Oh no.
Bullshit.
Not listening. I was like Denzel slapping that table. I was like, what in the hell?
Oh, man. All right. You got... All right, so we got to ask the fellas. Fellas, have you ever received an unsolicited pee pic? Like, pussy pic? Vagina pic?
Yes.
Unsolicited.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Unwanted.
No.
Unsolicited?
Yes.
Yes.
Unsolicited? Yes.
No.
You see how we treat y'all? We do y'all right. If we busting up in here, you know what I'm saying? We coming in right. We like, he gonna like this.
I mean, and you know what? I would want to say, you know what? It was not necessary that it was unwanted because it was unexpected, but it didn't go unappreciated. I think that's probably the best way. That wasn't necessarily
like, absolutely,
a pee-pick at that time.
Absolutely.
But when it came through, I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
When I walked through, walk.
You know, people are thinking, what do they do on war council? They tell bad jokes and laugh a lot. It's on the way. He said, thank you for this pee pic. I appreciate you. Fuck.
Yes. Out of all of the people in your phone book that you could have sent this to, you saw fit to send it to me. And I want to say, thank you.
I know I might have the occasional what took you so long to send it? We've been friends for I don't know how long. And you just sending it?
Oh wow.
Yeah, but I don't think that's disrespectful.
See, that's a level of disrespect. Whenever I get around to you, just be excited like the previous man, you know? I don't know what I had to go through to recycle this thing
to
make it look brand new to you.
Because when somebody you wanted to criticize it. You couldn't just go
It was unsolicited and it was ugly.
What? Oh, now please don't go around thinking that every pee pic is pretty.
No, I didn't say that. You said you appreciated the ones you got.
I appreciate the ones that I got. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that there was a pretty
thing. That makes a difference, though. Well, I personally, I'm of the firm belief that I don't, honestly, I love nakedness. I do. But I don't care how fine you are, the naked body is not what does it for me, especially down below. Like, it can look real nice and all of that. But if if you, like, I would rather get a picture of a contour or something. Like, you don't have to send me the whole thing. Like, that's, yeah, it don't do it for me. Like, I don't, I've never been a porn watcher for that.
I mean, nobody wants to throw a dick in their inbox.
This thing was, never mind. He might be listening.
I'm trying to keep it together because you're killing me right now. But more importantly, he said, and it was ugly. I do want to ask the ladies, what do y'all do with an ugly peen pic if it's ugly? Y'all be like, oh, this is some ugly. What the?
I will either not respond to it at all, or I'll say something really derogatory. I'm like, that's all you got?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm unimpressed. But, you know, it was really more so because it was not something, like, it was not a conversation that was had. It was not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was no encouragement on my part to send this to me. Like, that, when I say, like, sir, like, you were just somebody that I randomly know, like, we met. And, you know, well, what's your handle and all of that? I'm going to follow you type situation. And we hugged at the end of the night, and that was it. And then that was, like, years ago before COVID. And so you just decided to drop. You ain't even slide in. You just decided to drop that thing off. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was very emotionally disturbing to me. I'm just telling you. It was terrible.
Oh, man. Oh,
it was like George Washington. It was terrible.
So let me ask my fellas. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa. Go ahead.
I don't always understand what the thought process is that makes you send these pictures. Yeah, especially the unsolicited ones. I don't know you from Adam. I don't know what your face looked like. Why I want to know what your dick looked like?
Thank you.
So y'all, these are just y'all are waking up to random people in your inbox.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Any type of affiliation with, no interaction with.
Honestly. Yeah,
that was
like one
of all social media platforms.
Right.
All social media platforms.
Right. I like one day was sitting in my house, minding my business in the middle of the afternoon, and I get a messenger phone call from a guy I don't know from Adam. He was somebody that I had friended because of another friend that we were trying to work on something together. So I never really had a conversation with him. I get a phone call. I answer the phone call thinking that he's calling about the project. And he's butt naked from the waist down with the camera on it, stroking.
Oh, wow.
Oh, child, I got so many of them.
Wait, y'all getting stroking video?
Those are the worst.
Yes.
Y'all getting the
man,
Carter? I'll be stroking.
Had never had a conversation with me.
Not one.
Listen, I've been on Clubhouse,
not a hello,
and have had guys hit me up from Clubhouse on my IG business page with inboxes of them with videos of them in the shower, of them just one guy sitting in his chair with the camera down below, and he got his legs gapped open, hairy as I don't. It's just nasty. Yeah, that's what you want to see.
Oh, wow.
That's disrespectful.
Ain't no way around that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially when you hit my business page. I simply asked him, I said, were you trying to put jewelry on it? Because, yeah, I don't know why you're sending me this.
what if he bought some of your jewelry? And adored himself with it.
I would have told him
it's
business.
What he do with it after he buy it is my business.
Listen.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Right?
We say support black business. We mean that.
All right, so see, he might have been applying for an unposted modeling pic.
Things you never thought to do with this jewelry.
Yo, that's fucking hilarious. Yo. Oh, shit.
You're trying to help me tap into a market that you didn't even know existed.
He was just trying to show him this.
Literal untapped market.
Yo, right. Wait, so I gotta ask the fellas the same question because we gotta make sure that everything is even. So fellas, have you received an ugly vagina pic? Have you received one? Well, you looked at it and you was like, nah, this ain't it. This ain't it.
And crickets.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, I have received some that haven't been visually appealing. And I'm just gonna leave it at that.
A man being a diplomat. I have a question.
No, I'm tapping into my brother's Wendell psyche for a second.
He's expanding his thought pattern.
Right.
I got you, bro.
Thank you, bro.
So I do have a question, though. What happens, because, I mean, you know, disrespectful. What happens if you encounter something, like, physically, like face-to-face or, you know, however it goes, and it's not appealing? Like, what do you do with that? Like, as a man, do you back away?
Yes. Like, are you asking me what do we do if an ugly woman approaches us?
Not an ugly woman, but an ugly vagina.
Okay.
That's the moment. If I'm going to be honest, that's the difference between having the lights on or the lights off.
Okay.
That's a nice political answer, man.
So you basically saying you just cut the lights off? So you don't have to see it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Because there are some things that may not be appealing on the outside, but are real good on the inside.
Hey, counselor, I sustain. Yes, sir. ladies, you have to understand that, you know, when it comes to the P, to the V, that it's the viscous innards that is the most appealing part. So you may not necessarily need to focus a whole lot on the visual appeal, but if it's good, you know, if the viscosity is there, that can make up for lack of visual appeal.
I approve that message.
Then
like
I said, I approve that
message.
Really, baby, you got that good. Just
talking about it.
Well, okay.
Well, listen, I did.
That nigga really did say the top. He really did say that.
Well, he was like, oh, you want me to cut the lights off? Don't worry about it.
Right. Where you at, my bro? Where you at, Dawu? Where you at, bro? We way in, bro.
I'm here. Well, I'm gonna need my hobby help for this one. My hobby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, so I'm tell the people,
I'm
the one,
the nickname we have for the one person that you constantly terrorize me with.
You really want me to say it? You really want me to say it?
Yep.
You really want me to say it?
Tell him.
You.
I do.
You, for real?
What's
for
the
real?
Nickname of the one person that you constantly terrorize me with that I had to yell at you?
Yeah, I go front. I was bothering Dawood on purpose. He wanted to fight. He said, "Yo, man, I told you stop." He was mad. He was super mad too. He was super because Dawood be fucking with me, right? He be fucking with me, and then he be sending me pictures that fuck with me all the time too. Like every time I say something that's funny, he sends me the Spider-Man pic, right? That's our shit. So he'd be like,
Tell the truth. When he talks to me about certain characters that I know are shifty, I send him the Spider-Man picture with the hair coming off his arm. Because that means that I'm nervous.
he's faithful with it. So I'd be like, yo, because he be getting me and shit. I'd be like, oh. He'd be like, you know what's about to happen. Bing. I'm like, all right. So I'd be like, yo.
Yep.
So I torture him about something that he did years ago that I don't let go. And the nickname for that person is Stinky B. Stinky B. Figure it out.
Wow.
And he'd be like, you ain't never letting this shit go. I was like,
I don't know.
But you
he
never let
like,
me go.
So who was you with this weekend? Was you with Stinky B? I'd be like, nigga. No. I said, let's make a deal, me and you. You never bring that shit up again. You hear me?
Yo, are you leaving that in 2021? You're not taking that into 2022?
No, sir.
No,
no,
he's
not.
Yeah,
no,
thank you.
No,
but you
no
see what
deep.
He said? How he gritted his teeth when he said that. He gritted his teeth when he said that. I was like, yo, he was mad. I was like, God damn. I mean, you want to fight or something? Like, I was playing. Yo, he was so sick about that.
That was my undesirable, not so vicious moment is when his tongue, I mean, just pulling the pants off. That was disrespectful. That was very disrespectful. So but y'all gotta remember, like, I still have kind of remnants of being a minister. So women are very nervous about telling me pussy pics. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to tell them that I'm not that guy anymore. You know what I mean? So generally, when a woman comes to my inbox, nowadays I think it's a little bit easier, but back in the day, they would come with some kind of black power event and shit like that. And I'd be like, why are you tagging me with this? And it took me a while to realize he's kind of flirting. You know what I'm saying? So it's like now, you know, most people know that I'm kind of like not in that realm anymore, and it's getting a little bit looser. But it's been a while. Trust me when I tell you it's been a while. So I can't really speak to the pussy pick kind of paradigm because I haven't been in this world that long.
Man,
that's the guy's always.
Tanya's on here too. Cause Tanya, I added Tanya there. Tanya, I'm sorry, Tanya, are you there? Tanya, are you there?
I am here, wilding over here. Y'all got me just whoa.
Yeah. And the back channels is lit right now. Back channels is lit. And they said, and so especially with the unsolicited dick pics. Apparently unsolicited dick pics is hugely popular. It's very disrespectful. You're like, hey, let me just get up in the morning. Let me send you this dick real quick. I don't know what it's going to do, but somehow, magically, it's supposed to entrance you and make you want to have sex with me. Here's a dick pic.
It does not. You think you're a perv. Like, straight perv.
If you listen to the show, I know we passed the 10 o'clock hour. This is Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? But more importantly, this is War Council, egalitarian, conscious, creative panel of incredible people with vast intelligences talking about some of the funniest shit you going here, like unsolicited dick pics. Please don't kill it. Please don't fire me for real. Just don't do it. I know I said dick pics quite a bit, and I know the FCC might have a problem with it, but unsolicited dick pics. Come on now. with that being said, all right, so, wow, that's crazy. And to answer your question, Joan, I am known for running and backing out of rooms real slow. Quick. I was like, let me just back out this room real quick. And I'm out. And I'm gone. So that's hilarious. All right, so, all right, let's talk about other disrespectful things. What is another super disrespectful thing that happens, that happened this year in a relationship or relationship, you know, anything else, you know? We talked about a lot about the Kevin Samuels. We dealt with that. We talked about toxic. We talked about energy vampires. We talked about, you know, narcissistic behaviors. That's disrespectful. Has anyone dealt with a narcissist this year?
Oh boy. This year, past couple of years, I haven't dealt with anyone, so,
I have not, because as soon as I even get the inkling, like, if my spidey sense goes off, that there's narcissistic tendencies there, I'm out quick, fast, and in a hurry. I exit stage left. I'm gone post-haste. Because I'm not going to allow that energy to infect my life anymore. Because I dealt with one last year that I dealt with one, and because I was so uninitiated into the ways of recognizing and dealing with, you know, with someone like that, I was actually at a place where I was emotionally starved for attention, and then which made me prime pickings for, you know, for a narcissistic woman, and it that had me jammed up. So when I got out of that situation, I made the vow that I will not even entertain the slightest thought that I'm dealing with someone who's a narcissist. I'm out. I was, fuck that shit. I'm out.
Like, I'm gone. Go on now.
No, that's right.
You know what? First of all, one of the things that I know is that we are very quick to label somebody that predetermined out. It is so overused, it's not funny. But what I would say is this, and this is something I talked about in my life today. If you don't have boundaries, that's when you be dealing with narcissists. That's my personal opinion. If you don't have boundaries, you generally deal with narcissists. If you do have boundaries give narcissists away. Because narcissists usually thrive on taking advantage of you being quiet while they do their bullshit. So what I talked about tonight was borders versus boundaries. Because borders basically are emotional reactions to what somebody does that violates your sensibilities. And if you have not communicated your sensibilities or put your sensibilities out there, you understand, in the beginning of a relationship, of course you're going to deal with a narcissist. But if you're one of those women or men that know how to communicate your boundaries in the beginning, narcissists usually don't stay around because they know that they can't, you know, violate you. They depend on you being safe. They depend on you being, you know what I'm saying, accommodating. And when you're uncompromising on the things that offend you, narcissists usually, they melt away. So I be watching this on social media all the time. People be putting up, oh, I dealt with a narcissist. That shit is your fault. It's 100% your fault. Because if you would have said what you liked and what you didn't like in the beginning, you don't deal with those kind of people. So my answer is no. You know what I'm saying? Once I got outside, I began to get very good a diagram of what I like and what I didn't like. And when you do that, narcissists melt away.
Hey, I agree with that 100%, and I can say I can take accountability for the fact that I was complicit in my own, destruction when it came to dealing with a narcissist because I was not enforcing my own boundaries, and I was very complicit in allowing shit to slide, and which made it very easy for that person to try to maneuver me. Which is why when I got out of that situation and had to do some of my own self-work and shadow work, I recognized those tendencies in myself that made me prime pickings for a narcissistic person. And that's why I have erected and am enforcing those boundaries in my life now. Because, Wendell version, 6.0, I'm the upgraded version. This is the sixth version of the Matrix, and I've gotten exceedingly efficient at destroying Zion. So.
Word up. No, very well said, bro.
I think a lot of us are complacent in those relationships until we realize the part that we do play in the situation. Of it. That isn't unusual at all. But once we realize we ain't got to put up with this shit, it's a wrap. It does not happen again at all.
Right. You ain't never lied.
I was married to a narcissist. Right. Okay. I was married to a narcissist for 23 years, and trust me, I know the part that I played because I gave him complete control over me. And it just made it worse. It didn't make it better. But I didn't realize what the actual term was for his mental state, the way that he treated me. I know now, and I'll be damned if it'll ever, I'm like you. I got spider sense. It starts tingling. Run from it like a plague. Yep. Playing with it. No more.
I'll tell you. The funny thing is, because I talked to y'all about it when I was like, when my ex was posted about me, like you talked to me yesterday. I was like, you are married to a whole ass motherfucker in your house. Why are you posting about me? For what? For why? I'm like, you're just not happy. And that narcissistic behavior of who she happens to be or anything else like that, like it's funny to me to see how that happens now. And so even when people practice things like somebody was like, yeah, oh, like I was supposed to write a piece with them. He's like, oh, you don't spend no time such and such. And I'm like, yeah, my life has been kind of busy lately. And they were like so busy trying to guilt trip me that I was like, okay, well. Let me tell you exactly what's going on. And he was like, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, but you spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make me feel guilty about it. And I said, that's manipulation. And I don't do manipulation. You got to do something different. But people will emotionally manipulate situations. I think that's, like, key for narcissists is being able to manipulate you emotionally, being able to push you into a corner, and force you to fight your way out, even though like it's like bully behavior. And so when you listen and you watch certain people practice bully behavior, like the funny thing is like with my pops, like his wife makes me crazy. I'm just saying it out loud. His wife makes me crazy. So my father was trying to get me to do something for her. Like he was trying to command me to do it for her. And I was like, no. he's like, just get it done. No. No, I was like, listen, I don't just do shit because you tell me to do shit. I was like, this shit is for her. I said, you can ask me anything. She can't ask me shit, period. And I think about, like, how my behavior would have been, because I had a lot of Boy Scout behavior. And even then when you're, like, not pressed or you're hurried or you're relaxed into a situation, your meekness, people think that that's a way to control that, or you're scared of them, or there's something that they do that you absolutely need them. And I'd be like, nah. I said, my meekness allows me to see the board and see who you are and watch your behavior. So I know that when you're trying to manipulate something, then I understand exactly who you are in this moment, and I never have to worry about it again. You know, so it's interesting. But anybody else? Anybody else? We'll get into it. Disrespectful, manipulative behavior.
I was seeing someone. This has been a little more than a year ago, and the narcissistic behavior was creeping in little by little. And then we went off on vacation together, and he really just flexed when we got away from everybody and just talked to me any kind of way. And it threw me off my game for a minute, but I came to my senses. So the next day, he's going to come trying to have sex after he done bitched me out the night before. I don't even know where that spirit came from, but I was like, no thanks, I don't want any. Like I was refusing a restaurant order or something. And he was, like, totally floored. He's like, you ain't going to get your man. You ain't my man. You last night just made the point that I wasn't anything that you wanted. So why do you want it now? I was the one driving when we went on this little vacation. So I packed up, and he packed up, and we got in the car, and he tried to irritate my nerves on the drive back. I carried him back to his house, and I ain't seen him a day since.
I'm not mean like that. I don't, I've been with a lot of like my ex was get the fuck out the car. She was always on that, like, get the fuck out the car no matter where you at. Get the fuck out the car. I'll leave you right here. that's
I'm
who
not
she was.
Normally that person. I'm not normally that person, but at that point I've been manipulated enough that I was like, okay, I'm done. Because, like, at first it was I was the sun, moon, and stars. And then as we started seeing each other, then he didn't like it that I didn't wear makeup every day. And then he didn't like the way I did my hair. And then he didn't like that I didn't wear dresses as much. And it was just one little thing after another little thing after another little thing until it got to the point where he just thought he could say what he... And he basically said to me he's going to do whatever the hell he wanted. And it was I just had to get with the program. But I there are some not posts that the two of us were a couple. You done lost your loving mind, bro.
That's disrespectful. But that's almost textbook. Like he breadcrumbed you. He's giving you the breadcrumbs.
But the thing is that after I got, because that was just before I moved here, so I got settled in here because he thought that I couldn't make it here without him. That was his thing. He was supposed to move here with me. He thought that if he pulled out or if he flexed, I had no other choice but deal with it. Because I needed him to be here. I'm struggling. I ain't going to lie. Because I thought this was going to be a two-income thing. But I'll make it without you. So he waited like 7 or 8 months and tried to call me back. Talking about, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, you sure are. And I'll lose my number. Thank you.
Yeah, that's definitely.
See, I get stuck up a lot because my boundaries are like Alcatraz. Like, once I start seeing that stuff, man, one, I'm already direct, so I get called an asshole a lot. But once I start seeing that type of stuff, boundaries, they're definitely spoken, and then it becomes, you're so conceited, you're so stuck up, you think you're da-da-da. No, why is it that when you know what you worth and you value, you ain't letting that mess happen? Man, folk like that, that's just, my ex-husband had narcissistic tendencies, and just recently he came by to bring me a Christmas gift. Now, he always expects people to give to him, never gives other people. And then when he gets here, he plays around for a while, and it's my son, his brother, and we're all chilling. And then he slides into that, so let's go in the room and talk, because you know I done gave you something, now you got to give me something. N-word, if you don't get your such and such out my face, like, really? What? Please. Man, you can't deal with something like that. Ew, man, ew.
Man, gift manipulation, trying to get the extra. Ah, that's crazy.
Hope a freaking throat.
Don't give it
like,
to him
really?
Today.
I just want to know. All right, so I know this is disrespectful. Has anybody been around anybody who used sex for manipulation? to get you to get what they want, to you know, give you coochie coupon, you know, make it good for you, or, you know, or even with the fellas, you know, you withheld dick to get better behavior. And don't laugh at me because I've heard this before.
Oh, wow.
No, I know
video, no more dick.
Yeah.
No, I know people
wow.
that, that are in.
No more sheets, no more dick.
But,
wow.
Well, first of all,
it doesn't end well when they do that.
A dick coupon. Is that what you call it?
A coochie coupon.
Dick coupon.
Oh.
Actually,
oh,
I was told by Malika she made one for us to give out to the group. She's like, give this out to the group, you know. So definitely. And actually, I forgot I was supposed to text her and tell her to come on the podcast because she wanted to come. But yeah, no. Nah, but seriously,
I would say this:
some people.
Here's what I'll say. I say that if you're a person that's been in what's known as a sexless marriage, then you should be able to spot sexual manipulation a mile away. And many of us have been sexually manipulated. I'm not sure who has it, who hasn't, but I know I was in one of sexless marriage for a while. So in the beginning, and I'm not saying that we gotta have sex in the first, second, third, or even fourth day. But as soon as you start bringing up sex and you start talking about how we're not gonna do it, that's when I ask for the check. Because I already know that you do that as the most important thing that's going to be between us. And I'm not going for that bullshit. You understand? And I've seen it. I've seen it, you know, because I dated heavily this year. And I've seen it in a couple of different persons that I was talking to where they would kind of dry brain up sex. And here's how it would happen. Sometimes it would happen where they would talk about how they dealt with somebody else. And they tried to get in on the first date. I told them, I don't do it on the first date. And I'm like, the fuck are you bringing this up for? Nobody even asked you all of that. And so, for me, that's the early sign that there's going to be some kind of manipulation with that. Because I don't want to hear your story about how you denied somebody else. That's like, who gives a damn about that if we're on our first or second date? I don't want to hear about that. You're bringing that up because you're trying to send me a message. And nobody asked you all of that. So when it comes to sexual manipulation, like, that's big to me. I'm not, again, I'm not saying that we're going to have it on the first, second, or third date. But when you start bringing up sex in a negative way and start talking about how, you know, in any way, shape, or form, we're not having it, we're not going to have it, I get the hell on out of here. Because I know that you're going to start using that as a central piece to our relationship, and that ain't happening with me. I spent too many years in the desert for you to now put me back in the desert. Fuck that.
I know that's right. Hey, say it with your chest, brother. Say it again
yes,
for
sir.
The slow folk in the back.
Oh.
You know,
hey,
I think I have this
real.
Conversation with, I had this conversation with women. I mean, I've had it with men too, but I have it with women very often about how we attach what we believe our moral obligations are to our actual vagina. And so we use it as a moral hierarchy for the way we interact with people and the way people interact with us. Like if she has sex on the first date, oh, she's a hoe. If she has sex on the second date, oh, she just really want to be with somebody. And so for, like, you know, for me, I always ask the question, like, what was the sex talk like in your house? Because if you're attaching it to good versus bad, then you're still a child. And I don't play with children. Because it's something you want to do or it's something you don't want to do. But either way it goes, if you believe that it's attached to behavior, then you're a child. Because that's how parents train their children. That's how parents treat their children. And if you feel like you're going to withhold and he going to act right, well, here's the thing. You're going to withhold and he going to get somebody new because that's what I do.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
And it's not
100% correct.
Yeah, because you don't want to be in a relationship with me that involves intimacy, and I want to be in a relationship that involves intimacy, and sometimes intimacy is displayed through sex, and that's just what it is.
Yep.
And you can be great person. You can be fantastic. You could be fabulous. But realistically, you're not who I want because you're not at the level of doing the things that I actually want to do.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Back in my I need to back on that. I really do. She just said a whole word, and I'm in total agreement with what she told. To me, it's like, so you're going to use sexual contact as the determinant between what happens good and what happens bad in a relationship. And to me, that stops it from being organic. Because I think that, you know, touching, kissing, and all that happens when you have chemistry. If you're already trying to control the chemistry by saying, oh, well, let's take sex off the table so we can, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? And so I had somebody, I managed to get this person out on my birthday. And we had a nice time, and I took them home or whatever. Then after that, the next day, they started with this whole, let's take sex off the table. Okay, what? I said, who the hell? First of all, I was a gentleman. I took you home. I didn't try to see if you get the cookies when I went home. Where does sex come into play? And I was like, well, I just think that if we do it that way, we can share each other more intensely. I said, what the fuck kind of psychology today articles did you read? Where did you come from? So I think that, just like you're saying, sometimes people attach sex to being, well, he's going to look at me as a whole if I don't do it in the first 30 days, if I do it in the first, or something like that. And the reality of it is we grown. That whole word is something that younger people use. We grown. So the reality of it is it's organic. It may happen in the second time, the third time, or the fourth time. It may happen in a month. But if you're intentionally trying to stop it, then I think that you use sexual manipulation. And I'm out when I see that.
Okay, Wendell, you want to say something?
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, back in my younger days, I was into network marketing. And there was a term that was, there was a saying that we used when you were sifting and sorting people on your list. And it was SW, next. Some will, some won't. So what?
So what
next?
So what that
tells me is that if you're trying to play games, if you're trying to manipulate the outcome by withholding sex or whatever the case may be, trying to use sex as a weapon or whatnot, you know that's where you are, and you are welcome to be where you are by yourself. I don't got to be there with
not
you.
With me.
Next,
right. Not with
someone
me.
Else is waiting. You know, someone is waiting. So what, if you want to do that, that's cool. What you've done is effectively sorted yourself out of that particular aspect of being a part of my life. And more power to you. You enjoy it over there. I'm going to be over here doing me and enjoying the people that want to be with me freely and organically. Because I refuse to be manipulated, and people will try to manipulate you with sex. One, if they believe that that is the way that they can gain power over you, and the only way that someone can gain power over you is if you allow them to, and if they believe that that power comes from the fact that you're not messing with anybody else, or that they're the only person that you can get sex from. And the easiest way for you to defuse that and disarm it is to let them know that you ain't the only one. So,
right.
Bye.
Listen, when the Lord was making vaginas and penises, he kept on, I promise.
No, but I mean, to turn this back into a narcissist thing, because narcissists will tell you, be like, yo, who else wants you? Who else is going to want you? Well, ain't nobody want you. Don't nobody want to be with you? And if you don't have the will, the strength, or you're stuck into a situation, you'll start to believe that. and then you'll think that nobody else wants you. You know, the only way that I feel like you should withhold sex is if you know that your partner has contracted something, and they stay trying to give it to you, and you know it. So if you should withhold, get the fuck out of Dodge as quick as possible. Because
yeah,
that
I don't
person
think that
is,
should be your partner anymore.
Yeah, that person is intending to keep you and then really make it so that you can't go nowhere else. Yeah, that's the withholding sex, disrespectful. Yeah, so we're going to add that to the list. Withholding sex, disrespectful. And I'm not going to front, Joan. My ex used to do that shit to me all the time. She would go through this whole thing of deciding what to do, you know, the level of sex of what she would apply herself to. So if she felt that I was getting too far out, she'd give me, sex offender status type sex.
Wild bitch.
Craziness. Just be like, oh, you know, the kind of sex you look at each other in the morning and be like, what the fuck we just do? I don't want to talk to you for a
I've
day.
Never
I'll
had
be back.
I just believe that when two people are together, listen, unlike Van, I do it in the daytime with the lights on. Sometimes the sun is on the, you know what I'm saying, on the back of the truck, baby. I live in Texas. It is what it is.
I don't
ever want to share myself with somebody where I have to feel ashamed.
Right. You know what, Joan? Since you pointed that out, man, I just wanted to say that, you know, if for a man that thinks a woman is a hoe for having sex on the first date, and you having sex with her on the first date, then brother, what does that make you?
Right.
When people say, what did Mojave just say about his wife? Nobody else is going to want you. Well, here's the thing, bitch, you want me, so.
You want me,
it
right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, listen, you're worried about the wrong thing.
Nah, but I agree with you. Like, yo, if anybody feels like they're not desired, there's someone on this face of the planet for everyone. I mean, think about it, man. Before Honey Boo Boo's mother got fixed up and then she lost, you know, she put herself into a thing where she looked like somebody else. She had a man. She had a man, and most women were complaining about not having a man, but she had a man because whatever she was doing was working. Don't ask me. I ain't got nothing for it. I just generally think that she's a very unattractive person, in my opinion. But she found someone. You know,
she's not
she
your type. And that's
to,
what I tell people. She's not. Listen,
oh, well,
as a person who literally
not
doesn't have a type. Here's the thing. Yeah. I don't have a physical type. I have things that I like, things that I'm attracted to, but I have never dated two men who have four things similar when it comes to physicality. I mean, like, they all have their own teeth. Like, that's important to me. But, you know.
Check.
Regardless if they take them out at night.
Hey, they belong to them. Listen, they belong to them as long as they're not borrowing for somebody else, because then we blurring lines there. But,
hey, man, give me back my teeth, man.
Yeah, listen, I saw a video the other day. She was like, give me my shoes. He was like, give me my teeth. It was a mess, but I watched it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah. You know what? That is disrespectful. Withholding sex. Disrespectful, unless you've got real sort of reason. What else? What else is disrespectful? Go ahead.
On the other hand, also there's the folks that expect sex when it's not even on the table. That's another issue too. I had a conversation the other day. This is no lie. So, like, I used to know this guy back home. And he passed away, and we were friends. When he passed away, I had a vehicle that wasn't tagged, and he had let me put it in his storage. So when he passed away, the car was still in his storage. So his brother, who I did not know, cleaned out his apartment, and he said, let me get your number. When I find a key to the storage, we'll go get your car out. So it took him like a couple of days or whatever, and he called me and said, well, I found the key. We can go pick your car up. So we meet at the storage unit. I get my car out, and that's the extent of conversation. This was like 3-4 years ago. So last week I get a text from this guy's number. He's like, I got another phone. I was just checking to see if this was still your number. And we're having like a conversation, and he just comes out with, you know, I didn't get a chance to fuck you when you was here.
That's savage. That's not disrespectful. That's savage.
That's straight savage.
Classic bougie ratchet.
I heard some crazy shit like that too. That's fucking disrespectful as shit. I didn't get a chance to fuck you when I was there, so you know I'm calling to see if you're gonna give me some.
That was pretty much the whole extent of it.
Well, you know what? I think that sometimes people use that Howard Stern shock value just to see if you're interested. Because if I come at you a certain way and you're truly not interested and you express that to me, then my feelings won't be heard upon rejection. You know, I can blame it on the way that I said it as opposed to you truly rejecting me. Like, instead of him saying, you know, hey, you know, when I saw you, I thought you were really attractive, but my brother had passed and you were trying to get your car and it was just the whole thing. And so I kind of been thinking about you and, hey, where are you now? You seeing somebody, whatever. That's a whole stretch to go through for then you to say, yeah, I'm not interested, right? So he's like, well, let me just start with the basic savagery. And if she reject me, then, you know, no harm, no foul. I mean, you were harmed and you were fouled, but he don't have to deal with that because those are not his feelings.
But right, but even if I was interested, you come at me that way, that's the end of that.
Right, but I didn't say it made sense. I didn't say he was smart. I just said...
He's a dumbass motherfucker.
I'm just saying that people go to a far extreme to protect their feelings and to throw it out there that they have some interest. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like a hook line. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you go to the strip club and you put a dollar on the fishing pole. Like, you want to give it to them, but you don't want them to have it.
He put a dollar on the fishing pole. Wait a second.
Y'all never heard a commercial.
Oh, you gotta be quicker than that.
Yeah. You wanna give it to him, but you don't really want him to have it.
Oh shit. Damn it.
Let's go.
That's disrespectful. Alright.
That is disrespectful.
All right. I got two situations. I actually got a third one, but I just got something that came through a back channel. All right. What's more disrespectful? All right. Situation one. You get nudes, right? And you share the nude with one of your partners, male or female, and then that partner decides to seek out that person based on the nude that you sent them.
Oh, damn, that's definitely disrespectful.
Let's rewind that and make me understand.
All right. You get nudes. All right.
Okay, Mojave, send me a picture. Go.
Yeah, throw me. Yeah, that's me. I do that. That's my thing. That's my thing. I absolutely do that. That's the shit I do. Anyway, no, but you get a nude and you share it with one of your partners, male or female, and then that partner decides to go seek out that person based on the nude.
Like a sexual partner or a homie?
Like your homie, your peoples.
Okay. So I share it with Lisa Lips.
Then
Lisa
your
Lips
people,
like
then
I'm
your
gonna
people,
go see what he's talking about.
Your peoples.
Yeah, Mojave sends you a nude, and then you send it to me, and then I go find Mojave and try to get some.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, that didn't really actually happen.
Yeah, that's.
That didn't actually happen.
That's what
happened. Crazy.
Sing it, baby. Sing it.
It didn't actually happen.
No.
For the record.
No.
It didn't happen. I'd be surprised.
You better sing.
I got one rule. what you said to me belonged to me. Mine. You ain't getting shit.
That's,
you ain't getting
that's
goddamn
the thing right there.
Well,
like,
and I'm saying, like,
if you
anything
didn't have an
that I'm a
with
being.
Your partner that you could send the, that you could share their nudes, then that's the first disrespectful violation.
Right.
Being.
Absolutely.
But dang. Then, if the person that you shared it with goes and tries to find that person, then I mean that's disrespectful. But you ask for that shit. That's like
listen,
it's like a woman telling her girlfriend how good her brother, how good her man's sex is, and then the girlfriend trying to go and get with her man. That's exactly
right.
What you've just done. You've invited
right.
the chaos.
Listen, true story. I go to the cigar lounge and kick it with somebody that I was kicking it with. His partner is there at the lounge. He's literally trying to holler at me in front of the dude that I'm there kicking it with. So the dude is like, say, man, you know what I'm saying? You out of lounge, you out of bounds. But they've been partners for a long time. He was like, listen, this man is a hoe. This is how he operates. So I can't change him or whatever. He a good homie other than the fact that he going to try to take women that I have. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's y'all dynamic or whatever. Okay, cool. At that point, I realized he's not somebody that I would ever really want to be in a relationship with because you don't have enough boundaries for me. Like, you need to, like that, we couldn't be friends type situation, right? Later on, about maybe 2 or 3 months later, I'm on a flight and I'm getting on a connector. So I see the homeboy. But you know how you see somebody and you remember them, but you can't really place them. So we kind of just go back and forth looking at each other for about 20 minutes. We get ready to board. It's Southwest. They like, it's a free fall. Y'all just get on. So we get on. We sit next to each other because we've now discovered how we know each other. So he's like, listen, you know, I was really trying to holler at you because here's the thing. I knew that shit between you and my partner wasn't going nowhere. So what's up? I was like, well, listen, you're really not my type because of the disrespect. And I told him straight up, because of the disrespectful way you handled your partner. Like, you don't have any boundaries, so you're no one that I would ever develop trust with, realistically. Not even to just be fuck buddies with. Like, we would never be that because you don't have no boundaries. Like, you just don't. And so he was like, okay, cool. But he did, you know, because before he tried to holler, we exchanged numbers or whatever. And he sent me later on, even though I turned him down, he sent me later on a picture of his package. I told my homegirl when we saw him at a different event a few months later, hey, get on that. That man got no package. You not looking for nothing.
I've done that before,
he not
too.
Not looking for nothing. And listen, she was like, man, I'm glad you gifted me that. That was all right. That's the kind of level of friendship you got to have. You got to know yourself enough to know there are certain things you can't deal with, certain behaviors you can't go for, certain friends you can share shit with, certain friends you can't. That's just what it is.
He belongs to the street.
He was for the street. All
right, so let me just add this.
Well, she was like, in a surprising turn of events.
So let me ask this question. Here's the question. Is it disrespectful, right, because you're just fuck buddies or whatever, is it disrespectful to give a sex referral to one of your friends? You say, listen, this ass was everything. You need to try this.
No, it's not disrespectful. It's your friend.
It depends on
how I feel about the one. Yeah,
right.
Like, there's some people I'm willing to share, and there's some I'm absolutely not.
Oh shit!
What qualifications for who you would share?
Wait, you be like, man, listen. You be like, listen, homie, you've been having such bad dick in your life. You got to try this dick over here. It's going to change your life, I promise you.
In real time,
I promise you, it's going to change your life.
You be like, listen, man.
I know
the dry season. I know this. But I'm going to get you some today. Because you ain't got no man. And you ain't got shit else to do.
That bone.
In my situation, I referred somebody that I had been with, but my girlfriend lost her mind after she got it. She lost her mind after she got it and got engaged to this nigga, and he was treating her any kind of way. I was like, wait a minute, look, I sent you over there to relieve some stress. I ain't mean for you to live there.
Right. And she didn't make good decisions.
Did you give her a disclaimer before you did that?
I told her what she was getting herself into. He was a big old farm boy. I knew what she did. I was like, it's going to wear you out, but don't get caught up. He's just pretty, but he ain't got no sense.
You gave a stamp of approval. You gave a glowing recommendation, and you probably didn't give the disclaimers. Remember,
I did give the disclaimer. I told her from the beginning.
The disclaimer was in small letters, though. The disclaimer was in fine print for your homegirl. That's what it was.
I told her.
Even though you said he's
Jethro Bodine.
Take it away.
I told her he is Jethro Bodine. He's pretty to look at, and he works hard, but he ain't got no good sense. It ain't going to be no conversation. But she tried to turn him in.
She tried to see the way she applied the message. The way
she's that person that needs that kind
of thing. Yep.
Yes.
All things good. She wanted all things good. She can overlook, gloss over, not be bothered by the things that would bother you. So, you know, I let people be happy where they are. That's the best.
Yeah,
so
I had to rescue her from his house afterwards.
There's nothing more delusional than a woman that's getting dicked down good. And if this woman has been in a dry spell for months
Jesus
and months
Christ.
And months, and then
yeah,
you
had,
put her
it
into
had been
an
like
oasis,
a year.
She gonna lose her mind.
Man, listen, you should have warned her, told her that her toes was gonna do gang signs, and
that
you might have a hard time keeping her legs together whenever he's around. You should have told her. You should have told
her. I told
I've
her.
Seen,
I've
seen
I her
listen, you can
displays.
Tell him. It don't
Did
matter.
You say,
Here's
don't
the
fall
thing.
In love
it
with this nigga.
Been, listen, you. It does not matter what you tell a person when the sky opens up and the sun falls through. It does not matter. It don't matter.
That's super disrespectful, though. But I mean, but I've seen that happen to fellas too. I've got a few homies that they ran across, you know, some sunshine, and they
mm-hmm.
were stuck for a minute. They were stuck,
about
you know, because. I'm just saying.
You were killing me, by the way.
In Harlem.
The music in the background is killing me right now.
Listen. I've run into some sunshine, so I know. I've been under the spell. You know, I've been under the spell. I've had a succubus suck me till I bust. I can't sit here and deny say anything different. I ain't gonna sit here and lie and be like, yeah, I'm impervious. Nope, was not. Easy. Simping. I was simping. Hard body. Simping. It
yep.
wasn't even funny. Yeah. Devil, did you say yes? I thought that was...
No,
I
was
definitely
nothing, bro.
I thought you
nope,
said...
No, but I...
Yeah, you sure were.
I did say you huh? Spider-Man, though.
Asshole. I see you asshole. He's had so many years to see me get my nose wide open on your nose is wide open, huh? He'd be like, yeah. He'd be like, I'm telling you, bro. No, anyway, that's disrespectful. All right. Also disrespectful from the back channel. How disrespectful is it that you told your homie that you got great head from this individual, and then your homie comes looking for the individual that gave the great head, even though knowing that him and that individual are best friends?
Isn't that how the Godfather starts?
This is people shit. You know when I ask for shit, people give me their
no.
shit. It's not like they don't.
No, but think about it, like if you look into the movie The Godfather, in the beginning of the movie, there's a whole bunch of women sitting around, and Sonny, the Godfather's oldest son, his wife is sitting there, and they keep telling each other how big his joint is and everything. So then, and while everybody's dancing and playing, Sonny's bowling with the chick that was at the table that wasn't his wife. And basically, that's how it started.
Man. Crazy.
I just feel like anything that you discuss, like, that happens intimately between you and another person, if you discuss it with a third person, you bring that third person into that mm-hmm. relationship.
Yep.
So whatever that element is, yeah, so you are not guarding whatever you have with that person. That's why a lot of times, you know, relationships and friendships go bad because instead of y'all working it out mutually, you've invited all of these people who are now invested and they weigh in. And, you know, that's why I said if I ever get married again, I'm going to tell some of y'all when after it happened.
Right.
Because I don't need a bunch of people. I don't need a bunch of people to be responsible to and the old conversations to. And I don't own, I mean, you know, like Mojave said, you know, well, I was supposed to do something, I didn't do it, and then, you know, I had to go back and tell somebody why I didn't do it. I don't ever feel like explaining myself to anybody who wasn't there. Like, that's a boundary I had to largely erect. Like, I don't really owe you an explanation. If I said I was going to show up and I didn't show up, I owe you an apology. But anything beyond that, you get what I want you to have. And that's it. And so if I gave it to you, if I gave it to you in the conversation, I'm like, listen, whoo, Chai, the way the pearls are sweat, he had them coming. Like, now I've invited whoever into this. And now they feel part owner to what I have given. Like, this is privileged information between two adults who are consenting. I have a third party who is not consenting here.
Mm.
So everything I discuss, I'm willing to let you have.
Mm. Yeah, I'm telling you. Wow. Wellness. Okay. What else? So what else is disrespectful that can happen? What you call it? Are one night stands disrespectful?
A woman's what?
They are a release. Stress reliever and a release. They are not disrespectful. No. Hell no.
Nope. They are not disrespectful. Because in order to have a one night stand, you got two people who was they was willing to stand. Or willing to lay.
Absolutely.
Willing to do whatever.
Right.
It didn't, so who's the one being disrespected?
Peacemaker.
Ooh, this is a good one. Ooh, that's a good one. Wait a minute. We got like 3 minutes left before the... All right, so if you're listening within the sound of my voice, you're streaming in, understand that you have approximately 3 minutes. We ain't here for a long time, but then again, there's no school, so I don't give a two shits. I don't give two shits. But what you call it? You need to call in the numbers 319-527-6300. If you're here, make sure that you're on. We're going to be continued after, you know, after dark conversation after 11 o'clock will be going on, and we're going to have some more crazy questions. And to the person who sent me that thing in my inbox about this question, that shit is crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care. Make sure that you're calling in. The Blog Talk Lady is very rude. She doesn't give a shit about you. She will hang up on all streamers at 11 o'clock on the dot. Please call the number 319-527-6300. We'll talk about disrespectful, end of the year, war council, free will and conversation. You feel free. Come on through. Click 1. Participate in the conversation. We're here. We got you. On the Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. Take your socks off. Baby. All right. Here's the question. The question, is it disrespectful to enter into an intimate relationship with someone who's in a horrible marriage and is planning on leaving but hasn't left yet?
They always gonna plan on leaving, but they're not going nowhere.
How long has it been since they had sex? Because after 6 months,
then guess what? It's fair game.
Well, they haven't had sex in almost 3 years.
Oh, honey, it's no holds barred. It's no holds barred. That's not even a marriage. That's just an attachment, like an appendage you can't get rid of right then and there. No,
yeah,
not disrespectful.
Because yeah. You know what? Here goes the thing. Here's something that I heard someone say that a divorce certificate, a divorce decree, does not indicate the end of a marriage. That's the marriage doesn't end when the divorce decree is signed. The marriage ends when the people disconnect. The divorce
right.
decree is just a marker to say that it's official on paper, but but if the legal document never gets signed, there's still a tether there, but there's not a connection. And
right, because the connection could have been broken long before the papers were signed.
Exactly.
You're right.
Hmm. Well,
I think for me it's a slippery slope, because how do you know? Because a lot of times people will say, I'm in a terrible marriage and I plan
right.
on leaving, but they never leave. And so now you're in a terrible marriage and a terrible affair.
Well, you get to decide if you're going to actually participate with them, if you're going to engage with them.
And
even if you started to engage with them and then you see over time that things are not, you know, progressing in a way that makes you comfortable, you also have the right to disengage. However, you know,
absolutely.
Just because, so there's some personal accountability that comes into there. You get to decide for yourself.
Mm. Mm.
If you stay or you go. If that person is still living with that self, then that's kind of off limits. Because you just don't never know what's going on. But if the person is living in a separate place with themselves, then it really doesn't matter how much time I'm leave. Because they have demonstrated that they're willing to separate. It would be one thing if they're saying, hey, you know, I'm in a bad marriage and we're not together anymore, blah, blah, blah. She's still living with that person. Because that you just never know if they're lying to you or not. But if in fact they have moved on and moved out, you could tell that they kind of live in another place, or if stuff is there, there's no signs of the South stuff there. You've been with the person, you don't never see the South come over, stuff like that. And what is the problem? I just think that a lot of times we be playing games with each other. And if you're still living with that person, and that doesn't even mean that you're still with them, you're still living with that person. But what I do know is separating from them physically and living someplace else is a clear indication that you're trying to move on. But if you're still living with that person, nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really knows what you're doing. And you could be setting yourself up for something really bad.
Hmm. All good points. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, So, man, this is a lot of good stuff with the disrespectful stuff that's happening with anything else that goes on. Anybody else have any other thing disrespectful they'd like to add real quick? No, go ahead, Lisa. We'll come back to Angel Kim because I just want to see if Angel's here. Angel, are you still here?
I think she just snoozed out on us.
Minus. But go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
All right. So, okay. So, and this one I honestly want everybody's opinion on because it confused the hell out of me. So I was talking to someone. We were getting along really well. We were acting like teenagers, up late on the phone, all that kind of craziness. Everything was clicking. So he comes over. We're supposed to be going out, but he comes over. He brought a bottle of wine. I'm, you know, doing my little last-minute thing, and we're talking, and we're laughing, and we're giggling. and something came on the news, so we like sat down to watch whatever it was that was on it, and just having a good time talking. He was like, well, what do you want to go to eat? I'm like, I don't know. You know, so we're kind of trying to figure it out. So he said, well, you know what? I got one of those coupon books in my truck for restaurants. Let me go get it out of the truck, and we'll see if there's something in there we want to do. So I'm like, okay, cool. So he goes out the door, and then I hear the truck start, and he leaves, and I've never heard from him since.
Oh, damn.
What?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
What the hell?
Wow.
That's called ghosting.
I have no understanding. I have no understanding of what the hell happened.
Was
he married?
He didn't want to. I mean, he needed to deal with you. Period.
It was just, but I mean, everything was cool. He was. It was him that was like tripping about the fact that we were getting along so well, and then just like out of nowhere, he up and leaves.
Well, he didn't want to be completely and totally rude to you while he was within your presence, but he realized that's not where he wanted to be when he got there. He just didn't want to be really, like, rude and hurt your feelings or anything like that, so he decided to escape on your ass when he got a chance. And he just ghosted you for whatever reason. He just, I wouldn't think anything
about
it.
I have no
idea. Don't even
get we had great conversations.
Did he leave the wine?
Yeah, I got the wine.
Oh, okay.
He brought that
wasn't
wine
a total
as
loss.
A goodbye gift. That was a parting gift.
Listen, and I don't mind.
Yeah.
Take you on your bullshit.
I didn't understand because he was the one who was most interested. It was me that took the convincing. And so when he finally did come over, it was like, seriously, we was cool. We were talking, laughing, giggling. I knew a whole lot about him. He knew a whole lot about me because we had spent a lot of time talking, you know, and it was cool. And he was like literally just before he walked out the door talking about, man, I really enjoy being here with you. This is cool. And I'm like, you know, because it's like maybe the second time we had gone out because I had met him out before and everything was cool with that too. And we were still talking all the time. But, you know, it was like all of a sudden.
And so that's why I asked, was he married? Was he married or was he in a relationship with somebody?
He was divorced. I actually, like, met one of his siblings and his mother at that point.
Oh, damn.
Hmm.
Maybe he was trying to prove something to himself.
I don't know. I was totally confused.
So I can tell you that if I bounce and don't say nothing, it's usually because I've seen something I really, really don't like. And 9 times out of 10, and I'm not saying this is you because you're a beautiful sister, but if it's somebody that I know is going to go totally crazy when I tell them I don't like it, then I ain't going to even explain myself. So, but
right.
Judging from what you're saying, the way that the situation went, he was loving everything that was going on. So I was talking to him, but the reason why he bounced and never came back was because he had another situation, and then he was talking to you and he was talking to somebody else at the same time, and that person said to him, I love you, I want to be with you. And that nigga was like, oh, well, fuck this. And he went over this. This is my thought.
His phone was on the table when we were talking. He laid his phone face up on the table, so whenever it rang, I could see what was on it, and he wasn't even pressed about it. Like,
sweetie, we can put do not disturb or block that system when we come to your house.
Nah, that thing was ringing.
Absolutely.
That thing was ringing. Negro was not. But it didn't really matter one way or the other about the damn phone to me. It was that he was like being so into everything, and then like walked out the door for no reason. That was what just threw me off.
Well, he had a reason, and I think
got
this
two
is
phones.
It.
You just didn't know what it was.
I think no matter how it went, he made a decision to leave. Like that was just what it was. He just made a decision to leave because this is not where he wanted to be. Whether it was you did something, even though you may have not done anything that was, you know, whatever. Like, some people just have quirks that they don't like in other people. You know, like it's just, that's just who they are. It has nothing to do with who you are, you know. But the other thing is he made up his mind and he left. And I'm going to say this, even when it comes to ghosting, you don't owe people an explanation. You may owe him an apology, but it's not working for me is an explanation. I don't have to go into detail.
Right.
And so when he got in his vehicle and he left, that was a clear indicator to me that it wasn't working for him.
Yeah.
Or here's the other side.
Right.
It could have been something about him that he didn't even want to put you through. Before I start on this path with her, she's a good person. I don't want to do this shit, so I'm going to bounce. I don't know how to tell her. I'm just going to bounce.
Yeah,
like sometimes
could,
people
you know, that's
spare
a good point.
Us.
He could have been saving you from his fuckery.
Yeah, that's what I feel like about the whole situation. That's how I feel about the whole situation, that was a whole lot of fuckery that I just dodged.
That is truly how you feel, then make sure that you hold on to that so that this doesn't linger, especially not as a negative thing.
Because if I held on to it, I'd never date again. But I just mean, we brought up the subject of debauchery and disrespectful, and that was one of the situations that I kind of dealt with, and I was like, okay, let's get the counsel on this one, see what they think. But
you're right.
my gut tells me it's somebody else. I'm gonna be very honest with you. My gut is screaming at somebody else. Like he had a decision between you and somebody else. That other person popped. He decided to go with them.
Yeah. That is a very, very plausible reason, too. The whole a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So,
right.
That's probably the possibility.
He may have been enjoying his time with you, but some guaranteed cheeks might have called him.
I'm not even mad. That is so serious. That's so serious. Listen.
Because that was the first time he'd ever come to my house. So yeah.
Wait, hold it. It was the viscosity of the guaranteed that made him that allowed him to make his decision. That's what happened.
Yes,
that's
exactly what he was like. I'm finna go over here and turn these lights off.
Yeah, see, because that was the first time he had ever come to my house. So.
Right. It's the whole cost benefit analysis, you know. There's risk reward comparison here. So.
I swear, if you were to do a chart.
I want the cost benefit analysis
of guaranteed cheeks. And the funny thing is, right, he's so right, because if the cheeks is guaranteed, you're going to stop whatever you're doing.
If they good.
Yep. If they good. And you know what? I just might do that. I might put something together and send it to you, Mojave, and break down probabilities, statistics.
Listen. I promise you, if you do the diagram, we'll make it into shirts. We'll make profit off it. I'm splitting that with you. Put it to the council. Everybody get free shirts. Yo, you do the diagram, and we put it on a shirt. We can make this happen.
Listen, it's trending.
Yo, dead serious. But, I mean, that's dead serious. Be like, do I got to do the dance or do I want to deal with these guaranteed cheeks? Guaranteed cheeks it is. I'm out.
Exactly.
I'll see you later.
I know the quality of the guaranteed cheeks, having sampled the product before.
Therefore, am I willing to risk the possibility of the new chicks that I'm working on not measuring up to the quality of the already sampled chicks? And if I am willing to make that risk, exactly what is my break-even point before I consider there's not a sufficient return on investment?
You know,
don't forget to add viscosity as a coefficient.
Right. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. That's right.
The,
yes.
The,
you know,
the viscosity quotient is what we use. The DQ.
Yes.
The viscosity
yes.
quotient.
That's right. Because the quality of the cheeks is exponentially increased by the viscosity and the friction deficit. The coefficient of friction deficiency.
somebody in a different country is going to be listening to this shit, and then they're going to go out and do it. Where'd you learn this from?
How that shit put together in the morning.
Listen,
how that shit in the morning. How that shit like a terror cell.
Oh, shit. Goddamn.
Messages
hilarious.
Going out everywhere.
I'm just saying. Guaranteed cheeks. I'm just saying. That's crazy. Oh, man.
Well, I have a question about that. Is it disrespectful to try new cheeks over guaranteed good cheeks? I want to know. Because they used to say that nothing was better than good except for new good.
Nah, that's not true.
No, that's not true. And two is not disrespectful.
It's not true.
The only thing better than good cheeks is new cheeks, because if the new cheeks do not have the sufficient viscosity, then it causes an immediate regret.
then you're in cheek regret. You're living in cheek regret.
You have to, the quality
turn
of the cheek will be made clear in post-nut clarity. Every man has a post-nut clarity. And that's how we
need
to say, you know what, damn, I could have done
that. Oh, we need to say, listen, you look at somebody totally different after the orgasm. That's when you determine if you really like them.
Exactly.
That's why I never understood, I need to wait 6 months. Well, what happens is you reel a person in with your personality, and then the sex is garbage, and then they got to break up with you, and you done wasted 6 months.
Right.
Shit.
So at which point in time
you
realize that,
so Joe,
that the cost benefit analysis did not work out in your favor.
It did not work out. You have invested too much time that you are not going to get returned. And that was
so
no
Joe,
benefit
you
to this.
Post nut clarity.
Yo,
that
Joe, you gotta do a show on cheek regret.
Cheek regret, that's what
cheek
it is.
Regret. You might be able to sue. We got a class action suit.
Yeah.
Like this motherfucker right here, we thought he had good dick.
Listen.
Right.
The word on the street. Well, you know what, and here's the thing. That's the thing about community peen. What people don't understand about community peen is what moves it forward is the fact that we are community. Like, when people brag on how good this nigga is, like, y'all out here fighting and stuff, like, that really intrigues some people. That makes them want to jump on that thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. I mean,
that's
listen.
Right. Yep.
Listen, good dick report.
Yep. Like, Tristan,
report.
What's his name? Tristan Thomas? Tristan Thompson? Thomas?
Chloe
Baby
right.
Daddy, whoever he is. Listen, everybody out here saying how they wouldn't, but clearly y'all will.
Hey.
He is garbage afterwards. After that orgasm, all these women be like, he is terrible. Before that, he is misunderstood. He is so misunderstood. Nobody really understands. And then afterwards, this is a trash-ass nigga.
See, that's like,
yep,
yeah, let me get pregnant for
that's
real quick.
That's what it is, man. You know, show me the cat facts.
Right.
Oh.
Man, listen. But I need to know how many miles is on that cat.
Let me see the body ratio.
The last thing that you want to do.
Listen, after you hit that 100,000, this thing roll back. Reset. Get that.
The last thing you want to do when you go to the dealership is believe the salesperson.
What?
Right. I need an independent third party cat
test drive.
I don't need you telling me how good the cat is and everything. Nope. I need the verifiable, reliable source. That is not
right. What we talk about before we talk about earlier at 50, we talk about having a dildo with a chip in it. I said, imagine you can get one of those little machines that have the chip in it. You plug it into the vagina, or you put it on the penis and it tells you how many bodies it had. We're like, yeah. Check the ratio right now. We're running the diagnostic on your shit. Nigga, you said 80. Nah, motherfucker, you buy more like 800.
Tell the blue book value on this.
Render every scratch, every ding, every paint scrape, every personality defect, some of these spirit shooting exchange.
Hey,
mm-mm.
Accidents has this thing bit in.
You're like,
what kind of body damage?
Who the hell is Sally Joe in Tennessee? What's she? What the? Wait, nigga, my grandma?
I don't think that would go over well with a lot of people.
Listen, I'm telling you right now.
The connection.
I'm sorry.
Like, what if you only been with one person, but the person you've been with, that one person been with 20 people? Like, is that that's an energy transference? Now you got miles on you and shit. You ain't even paid for. No, I don't want that.
You do, but you know, the one thing I'm discovering, like, which is crazy, what I think is nuts, is that you have white women now, literally, like there's a study out, and I'm examining this from different angles, but you have white women age 55 and up finding young black men and being sugar mamas. Because they discovered, like, they've always known about black teens since, you know, these buck farms and everything else that was happening, you know, drumming, what have you, on the plantations. But now these older white women are coming for younger black men in hordes, droves, not playing no games, and really, like, literally coming through like that. Is it disrespectful for women who literally... in some point would be caring towards them now coming for them sexually and fetishizing black men in the way that they do?
Is it disrespectful? These men are adults?
Yeah, these men are adults. You know, 30 and up.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Try to pursue who you want. I don't think so.
I think it's only disrespectful if they assume that they can just do that with any black man.
Yeah. let me be funny with Van. Where's Van at?
I'm right here, bro.
Where's Van?
I'm right here.
Van. So imagine a certain person who lives in Texas.
Who's
like spoiled milk?
I don't want to imagine that. Damn, man. She can't even fetishize you.
Hell,
you're the king.
She can't even fetishize you, man. Damn. Man, you being selfish with her. You being selfish with her imagination.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it might be a misery situation.
Listen, found out she like black women. I said, when she think of me, think I'm white.
listen, she might treat you like misery, hobble you, and then get you on a drip with Viagra on it.
No, man, that's disgusting, Javi. That is disgusting. Kawu, shut up, Spider-Man, for me, please.
I was just saying. It can happen. No, not least I'm saying. I wouldn't wish that on you. You know, that person would be fucked with a cow's dick. It just wouldn't happen. I don't understand it. But it's happening. But it's happening. A little crazy. A little strange. But
I mean, is it strange? I mean, I think it's just a return to the norm. I mean, when black men were on plantations and that's who they were having sex with. I mean, it's amazing to believe that only white men were impregnating black women. White women were being pregnant. I mean, why do you think that most men were sold off after they reached a certain age and stature? They don't want them men around their wives. They know their wives got eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you ever watched the movie Mandingo, you know the white woman was screwing Mandingo, got pregnant, and the quick fix was to let the baby bleed out. So there was a definite consequence for the woman, for the white woman having a black baby, than there was for a black slave woman having the light-skinned baby of the master.
The one of the things that kills me is, like, we look at Strom Thurmond, who literally had a black side of his family that he had. He had a whole black family and was racist as motherfucking shit for as long as he could fucking live. That's who he was. But was fetishizing black women, having a whole family in the background. And so many of the people were having, Thomas Jefferson, all these different people, who literally slept with black women and created black children. And even some black children were treated better than others, and others were put in the plantation and sold off. But the idea is that, like, an idea of fetishizing, like, the black body in so many different ways is that, you know, these women are discovering. Like, they're like, listen, you know, if you want some good laughs, go read Reddit.
If they're being honest. I don't know if they're discovering or if they're being honest, because here's the thing. You're talking about a generation of women who were literally disallowed to be with the black men of their age and time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, go back 30, 40 years and on college campuses where black men were entering into college campuses and the like, and these women clearly had eyes and they could see them, but they knew that they couldn't return to their family homes with them. So you fast forward a generation to their daughters and granddaughters who are doing it, and it's now, you know, more so socially acceptable than ever before. Listen, I'm going back to get what I missed.
That's true.
Well, I guess this would be a case where the two are not mutually exclusive. The two things can be true.
Yeah, but I mean, as crazy as it sounds, but I mean, like, a lot of times when people are looking at things, they're looking at difference in you know, May-December relationships, which do exist. But now, like, the reason why I brought it up, because I was watching something. You know, basically I watch these Reddit things because I'm getting ready to, like, try to do this Reddit channel real quick, because I'm always on fucking Reddit. Like, like, I read Reddit. Like, when I go to the bathroom, I read Reddit. That's what I do, right? So I realized they're making these channels and people are making money off of these channels. And I was like, all you're doing is reading the Reddit. That's it. And that's what they're doing. But I read all these crazy stories where all this stuff is, people is happening. And then combine that with people in their real lives and stuff like that. Like, it's bugged to know, like this shit is really going on. Like, you know, because sometimes I think that we are isolated, you know, especially with certain stuff that's, like, to me, I feel like it's disrespectful as hell, because, you know, you couldn't be bothered all the time, and all of a sudden now it's like, yo, let me tattoo this spade on the back of my ass. So, you know, I'm all about the BBC, you know, crazy shit. But with anything else that's happening, some women might say, well, it's hard enough for people to maintain or have relationships with someone of the same culture. You know, it becomes even more exceedingly difficult when that person is being removed. And I'm saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just pointing it out. They might say that person is being removed because of the shenanigans and the want of someone to just be with someone simply because the size of their penis. you know, the fetishization of their sex, those type of things. You know, that's the thing that I see is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's hanging out, but, you know.
So yeah. What if I just, as a black woman, wanted to be with a black man because of the size of his penis and the
variation of
sex that he's able to provide?
All
right, so, and that's what I'm saying.
Well, who you going to tell?
I mean, clearly not my husband, but then he'll be up for the, you know what I'm saying, he'll be on the chopping block and I got to share.
I'm just saying, let's see making movies. You want OnlyFans. Who's gonna?
Yeah, it's like who's gonna know? It's less uncommon. It's less uncommon and therefore easier to, you know, default to more of a, you know, a desire to stick with one's own, you know, kind of circle the racial wagons as the assumed primary motivator for you making the decision to be with a black man and have, you know, your fetishes about the sex be secondary, as opposed to, you know, espousing that the main reason why I'm going after a black man is because of the size of his dick, and oh, the fact that he's black, you know, that's kind of secondary. It's harder to make that argument than it is for a white woman to say, you know, the reason why I'm going after a black man is, you know, because I just love black men. And, oh, by the way, I hear that they've got big dicks. You know, there's one of these doesn't fit.
I'm going to say, love who you love, you know. My thing is love who you love. Be with the person that you meant to be with, especially if it's a soul connection, you're really connected on multiple levels, anything else. If you're just in it for the fetish, that's all it'll ever be. It won't do anything different, anything else is going on. I remember my brother was dating. I couldn't figure out, and I don't care what nobody tells me, you know, there are some white women that are very unattractive, but they got money. And so my brother would, I'm putting my brother's business out there. That's terrible. Anyway, but he would be with this person because she basically was into him for his penis. And she would buy him things and do things for me, bring him money by, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. And the thing was that was crazy. It was crazy about it is that, like, you know, she requested and required him to be extra, S&M, you know, just different stuff. Just be a certain kind of way, rough her up, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, who wants that?
That's very dangerous.
You know, like,
well, yeah, in my head, that's just very dangerous.
Because if he go a little bit too far and she decided to call the cops, he's going to jail.
Yeah.
If he lives through it.
I think he had enough, you know, enough sense to do certain things. But the funny thing is like when he decided to get married, you know, she was like heartbroken. She had a whole tear on social media. I gave my life to him. I'm like,
she did.
This is crazy.
Well, and
I think this is
the thing that we don't think about. Like some people don't really understand the difference between fetish and love. Some people don't understand the difference between sex and love. Like, all of these things are equal to one thing for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, we love, like, Mojave, you love the way you love, I love the way I love, so on and so forth. But for these people, this is the symbolization of love because this is what they know it to be. So she could have literally been heartbroken because she thought what they had was regular, like, you know, and I mean, I work with a lot of people who have been traumatized, and you know, as children and things like that. It's amazing to really listen to people really think about what for them to verbalize what they think love is. So she can legitimately up him.
So is it disrespectful to not know what love is in 2021 going into 2022?
Nah, not if you never experienced it. It's hard to get something
not
out of what we never put in.
I think it may be disappointing.
Sad.
Maybe sad.
Sad.
I mean, sometimes people don't know what love looks like. Some people forget what it looks like. I have a friend who literally, like, they're with someone who doesn't love them. Loves the idea, though. Loves what that person can do for them, but doesn't love them themselves. And so they struggle with that, and they're going through a bunch of things because of that, because that person believes that they're property to them. You know, and it's not the first case I've seen. This is like the second case I've seen of men literally thinking that their mates are property, that they don't have to love them, that they don't have to, as long as they're providing, there's no connection or intimacy that they have to perform. You know?
Yeah.
It
also goes back to what you allow to exist in your life, you know, because clearly, you know, you're with a person who's a narcissist, but you also have to allow yourself to be with that person and to be that way with that person.
Yeah,
you have to be
available
to
who you are.
Yeah. There's always going to be a degree of personal. There's always a degree of personal involvement in the creation of one's own prison.
Yep.
So, yeah, we can definitely put the lion's share of the onus and the blame on our captors, but we at some point we also have to realize that we have to put a few bricks and bars in place ourselves. So we have the power to take them down.
And for me, it's always when I don't know and I don't fully understand or I'm not fully looking at myself and, you know, I don't fully see myself and I allow this to develop is one thing. But then when I know and I'm able to express it to outsiders and I still participate in it, then I ultimately become the guard and the key holder of the prison where I reside because I'm keeping me in.
Mm.
What we do for convenience really shows who we are. Like, I don't want to take my kids out of this situation. I don't want to, you know, I'm going to have to move and you don't understand. And here's the thing, I get all of those things. I do. I really do. But at the end of the day, you're not as uncomfortable as you want people to believe because you're still there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, people will move.
Whew. Listen, mm-hmm. When it gets too hot and that ass is on fire, let me tell you something. You're all right as long as you're sweating. When you start smelling that skin, that's when it becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm. your ass is on fire. But I mean, nah, that's crazy. But I mean, with anything else, I always say that everything that you want is always on the other side of your fear. You know, I got that from Will Smith. But for real, like dead ass, you know.
Thank you.
Whenever you feel some kind of way, you think that something is missing or something like that, the only thing that you can get to is by facing that fear, you know. And so to me, I'm like, yo, if you really want to be happy, you're responsible for your own happiness, you know. And that's what it comes down to. Nobody else, nobody owe you shit. Can't nobody do something for me? Like, you know, like literally, like I learned, like, being in the fact, like my brother died, all this shit happened all at once, right? And so I was really beside myself, but I had really good people around me, you know, and then people really like calling and checking on me and seeing what things are, writing me notes or let me know anything else. And then I said, well, normally, you know, when my grandmother died, I went to pieces. I quit law school. I did all kinds of, I was like, fuck it. fuck it. Can't do it. Wasn't, you know. And I thought about, you know, if I had had the support, where would I be? And I said, man, I said to myself, I said, I can't lament that now. If I really want it, I got to go get it. Like, nobody's going to give it to me. And the one thing that made me realize that, I was like, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to get you. Nobody's coming to get you.
Tell me.
Right?
I think
so
I posted that like last week. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You at where you at. So until you get up on your legs, get up on your ass and go do it, nothing is going to change until you do. Nothing changes until you do. So when it came to it, like, I had a lot of stuff, like, to reconnect to my family and realize, like, there was a whole section of my family. They've been doing their thing for a minute because of how certain things weren't happening. And it's the same thing in relationships. Like, yo, you can want the world and you can get the world. You can have someone who loves you deeply and dearly. But if you never make tracks, you ain't never going to get the love that you need. It's just not going to happen. Because there's always somebody who's invested in keeping shit away from you because it benefits them. You know, that's the problem with narcissists and all these other motherfuckers who are in here. They manipulate the situation so it benefits them. You know, whether you're a piece, whether you're a property, whether you're anything else, that's all they see you as. They don't see you as the whole person or want to contribute or build into who you are as a person. You know, they're just basically saying, what's in it for me? You know,
right.
What's in it for me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minute I hear someone say that shit to me, like for real, and I didn't offer, I'm fucking out. I'm like, oh, yeah, so what's in it for me? Oh, nigga, no. That's it. This conversation's over. You know? But that's how people be moving sometimes. That's just what it is. And so, you know, a lot of times when we're not prepared or we're not ready, we just think that we're not. Because sometimes a change of doing something different, like, you know, like what, you know what really pissed me off? I'm going to tell you something really pissed me off, right? My ancestral home from my grandmother that my grandfather built for that house was in Red Bank, New Jersey. That house truthfully belonged to my mother, but my grandfather had a wife that he had married afterwards who did everything in her power to make as much money as she could off the situation. My brother went to this house, repaired it, put it together, built it, did all the stuff to it, right? My grandfather's son, who we don't even think is the son, but that's all another story, right? Because genetically nobody's ever proven it, but I'm pretty sure if we did, it'd be some kids, right? Him and his mother, they lost the home, right? They lost it, right? And then he told lies about how he lost it, right? And so my brother who's passed was like, he was like, listen, you know, like, he could have had any of us help, but he chose to suffer in silence. And so they lost it. And the thing that pissed me off is when I went on Zillow, somebody already bought the house, you know, had put the house under contract and everything else like that. So it pissed me off because this nigga knew, right? And I realized at that point, like, any one of us would have been more than happy to contribute or create some type of arrangements to save the house. We would have been more than happy to. But people don't say anything, so they allow themselves to lose things. And it's the same thing in relationships. It's the same thing. No one is coming to save you. No one's coming to fix anything. And if somebody does something out of the kindness, all right, so be it. But other than that, it's not an expectation. And so I think a lot of times when we think about disrespectful shit, it's because people are disrespectful. It's also what we allow. But it's also what we believe. We've not received good treatment if we've grown up in an environment where shit is just crazy. You know, like, I really have to sit here and come to terms. Like, I'm coming to terms with the fact that my mother's in the end of her days, right? And I have to fix generational curses before she goes so that they don't exist no more. And it requires, like, now she's in a place where she can't do anything. So now I got to convince everybody to go to her to fix everything, right? I gotta go. And it's disrespectful in the sense of, you know, my closest family that I've never met, that knows everything about me, that knows everything about me, walked up to me on the church, told me who they were, and said my name. And I don't know them from a can of paint. that they were 2 hours from me, and my mother never told me. It's disrespectful.
Wow.
It's disrespectful, but guess what? I connected. You know, it wasn't a hard drive. It was an easy-ass fucking drive and shit. That's the other thing pissed me. I was like, yo, okay, it's 2 hours, like literally 2 hours from my front door to their front door. 2 hours. And my mother knew. Never said anything. Never said shit. And so, same thing in relationships. You have to be the person to say, well, listen, I got to go over here and I got to fix this because nobody's coming to save me. So I say that to say this, right, before we go, you know, because we've been operating in negative. Let's move towards the positive. So we're nice and purged. Is there anything else that anybody wants to purge from the system to say that they're not fucking with this shit no more? It's bullshit. Fuck everything. Fuck this person. Fuck that person. Your mama and your sister too. Your daddy, mama, love you. Whatever you got to do.
Damn.
Whatever you got to get. Get them all. Get them all in this thing. So anybody wants to say that, let that go. Anybody
wow.
wants to say, let it go.
Nah, I'm going through my cell phone tomorrow, and I'm deleting all the numbers I don't call. And it may take me a couple of days. But I'm tired of scrolling through people that I keep scrolling by to get to the people I really need to freaking talk to. Jeez Louise. So that was a me problem. So that's my pet peeve that I had with myself, is that I hang on to contact information that I'm clearly not interested in using, and I should stop. But I always be like, I may need that. No, but you don't, because you don't call them people, including family members.
Nah, if your family members is toxic, you got to get you. They got to go. You were like, yo, you want to make this effort, you make that effort.
I mean, and it's, I don't even think they're toxic. I don't think they're toxic. I just don't talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just not.
They're not adding value to your life right now.
Right. They're not. They're not.
Man, listen,
and the truth be told,
an
I'm not adding value to theirs either.
Well, listen,
but you know that's real right there. Sometimes you need to go ahead and put some closure on that, you know?
I mean, well, I'm telling you, it's important. Like, people who have value see life, you know, you hold on to them all hands and all feet, especially if they soothe your soul. You know, I like to say that war counsel is soothing for the soul, because I be saying brave shit, you know, that I don't mind being vulnerable and transparent about. You know, other people don't understand what that looks like, you know, like for anything else. Like, you know, like, for example, like, you know, like I was, like, I'll tell you, like, I was so okay. I was fucked up. But I was okay, you know, I was okay until I got to the truth. And then, you know, the minute my brother's voice cracked, it was over. It was done. My brother's voice cracked. He did that little crack. I said, oh, everybody's fucked up. But at the same time, it's like value. Like, as soon as I came in, like people walking up to you, like, it lets you know, like I see you. You know, to be seen. And I think that's one of the most important things. Like, that adds value to what it is when people see you and they understand you or they hear you. You know, to do that on all levels is like a whole nother thing. Like now it's like all my friendships I'm cultivating is that I have to have this connection. You know, like, for example, when Wendell called me, he it was such a dope thing that he did, because he was like, he's a brother, you know, super eloquent ass talking and smooth, but he, you know, I can hear his concern in his voice, and it just warmed my spirit. You know, even Joe, when you wrote me, he was like, listen, you know, I'm this is what I'm doing, and I understood that that's your way, and I was like happy for that, you know. And now everybody was checking on me. It was great. And I realized, like, there was more value that I underestimate myself, because I'm so used to just putting my nose down and just grinding and not looking up. I'm so used to not talking, you know, talking about something. I'll be like, yo, I just gotta do this. This gotta be done.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always doing like 20 things at once. Be like, I'm like, oh, I can't miss out on this opportunity. I gotta do it. I gotta do this. You know. But half the time, I don't even like people like that. I just don't. I'll be like, yo, they'd be like, you're such as I. I'm like, I don't like these people. I don't want to do that. I was like, nope, don't want to do it. Like right now, like I even go front, I might have COVID. I don't know. Because somebody brought somebody in the family, brought somebody, a child that was sick. And I wasn't feeling hot over the past couple of days. And so, like, I was trying to wait to see what happened, to see what happened with their diagnosis. And then, you know, basically he went back with his mother, so nobody knows nothing. And his mother's a dick. And she does asshole shit because she brought him sick and didn't say nothing. You know?
Jeez.
So, you know. Yeah, when you're dealing with fucked up people, and then, you know, somebody else got COVID, like, mad people around me got COVID, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, like, I had, like, night sweats the other day, so I was tripping. Like, I was straight tripping, so, you know.
Listen, that's the one thing I am tired of. I'm so fucking tired of COVID. My gosh.
Man, who ate, though?
COVID is disrespectful. COVID is mad the way it was fucking disrespectful.
All these COVID damn variants.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo. And we're like, yo, this shit is mad communicable. You're like, yo, I can't go nowhere, can't do nothing. And then you're trying to be cool, and then be like, yo, do you have this? Do you have that? Is this going on? This, how do you feel about this? Is this, you know, and you're waiting for other people to have test results and check everything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, if I go, you know, and I'm still in the middle of a move, so it's like crazy. So I was like, yo, that would be the worst, to do it in the middle of a move, and then that means you can't get people to come help you because they can't be around you. And then you pretty much have to disinfect every fucking thing in the fucking building. And I'm a disinfecting champ. Like,
yeah, you heard me say again, because I know that about you. I'm like, again, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I'm, man,
COVID is out here expanding faster than a fraternity in the early years, man.
Maury. Damn it, Maury. Just when we need Maury.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
All these,
it's crazy shit.
Delta
chapter of
COVID 19.
Yeah, but it's real shit because, you know, you think about it. Like, it, but I knew people who died from the first, you know, like this people, man. People lost parents, lost aunts, uncles, all this other shit. I'm saying, like, damn, you know. And now they said this shit is, they said it's lesser, but it's more communicable. You know, so you know, when somebody sees it,
I don't understand
room,
what that means.
I don't know either.
I don't understand because here's the thing: if I'm going
we still
to have
won't get
some
shit,
type of effect, well, if I'm going to have some type of long-term defects or, you know, issues later on or whatever, I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's not, my lungs aren't collapsing today, but if I'm gonna have a stroke in 6 months or diabetes in 2 years, I mean, what the hell, dog? And they like, yeah, just stay in half the time and wear your mask double time and then part of the time. I'm like, what?
Right.
So, Wendell, if you had an opportunity, put together that cost-benefit analysis.
Like, what the
hell? Here we go.
I was like, what exactly is going on here? But, you know.
How we doing it?
Nah, that's what I'm like, you know. And it was, like, crazy because for, like, almost 3 months I was sick and it wasn't COVID. So it was, like, it was some bullshit because it was, like, I'm negative. And I'm like, why the fuck can't I breathe? Why the fuck am I coughing up a lung every fucking 5 minutes? You know, what is the long-term effect of this? What can it be that? You know, and for some people, like this dude who was part of this group I was working with, he said that when he caught COVID, like, he had some of the things, but he said his skin peeled off. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, he said my skin was long. He's like, I shed skin like a snake. Like, and I was like, how the fuck did COVID do that to you? He said, yo, it literally
was dehydrating.
Yeah, but he's like something that was underneath the surface that he didn't even know. Like, his brother has that. And so he didn't think he had it, but now he discovered that he had it too because of COVID. And so I'd be worried about shit like that. I'm like, man, listen, I don't want to deal with nothing crazy. You know, I worry about all kinds of nutty stuff. And then it's like both my parents are immunocompromised. It's just crazy shit. So, you know, you got to think about everything else. And, you know, there's no freedom to what we do anymore, you know. So it's a little nuts. But anyway, let's get on to something positive. Let's talk about the good stuff that we want to do in the year 22. We got less than 10 minutes left to talk about some beautiful things that should be happening and what we want in the new year. So let's start at the top. So, Wendell, what do you expect in the year of 2022? What do you want? What is it? What is something you pursue? What's on your dream list?
Yeah, for 2022, I am attracting to me and manifesting significant, meaningful relationships, deepening relationships that have started in 2021, like the ones with you and the rest of the War Council here, but then also in my local area, developing and attracting local meaningful partnerships and relationships to myself professionally, moving and accelerating my mortgage business, and having the capital to move into some of my other investments with the haste and the aggression that I want to move me and my family to that next level. So it's all about elevation. It's all about elevation. Personal, spiritual, emotional, financial, and relational elevation. That's what 2022 has for me.
That's what's up. That's what's up. A round of applause for that. Danielle, what would you like
me
to see?
Continued peace of mind, love, and a flourishing business, and financial stability. I'm good.
Dope. All right. Lisa Lips.
Working on my health. I've had a long battle this year with trying to come back from kidney failure, and my last report was that my kidneys were back to normal function. So trying to maintain that, work on the weight, work on getting more active on a business level, going back on air, building the business that my business partner and I have, and making it more lucrative. And personally, trying to build me into a better me so that when I find the right man, I'll be prepared.
That's dope. I think, wait a second. Van, what is your wish for 2022?
Oh man. My wish for 2022. I guess, health, good health for my kids, my dad, less craziness from my ex when it comes to my kids. There have been some crazy things that just hit me in 2021 from that one. My God. But more importantly, man, that I'm gonna ask that we don't lose anyone else to this disease, this illness, this COVID. We got enough illnesses that we're losing everybody. When it comes to things like cancer and diabetes, and we just don't need more stress in 2022 over losing loved ones to this illness. So I'm just, health and prosperity for not just my family, but for everybody's family, man.
All right, Joan, what about you?
2022 for me will be the year of completion. So I have like 11 projects that I have started over the past maybe 4 years, and it's time for me to close them out so that I can move on to the next set of things. So it will be the year of completion.
That's what's up. As far as I'm concerned, of course I'm going to be working on my health. You know, and I'm glad that people are starting to notice the journey. But once I get settled, I'm getting my ass into a gym. You know, most people, they don't fail because they're not willing. They fail because they lack discipline. And I realize that my lack of discipline is usually because it's tied to something emotional. So I'm learning to master my emotions so that I can enjoy my discipline to make things better for me. And the more healthier I am, the sharper I become. The sharper I become, the better things are for everything and everyone around me, because that allows me to do my best and to be my best. And I always want to be at my best. And so, you know, in 2022, I want to be at my best at all times, which requires the work for me on multiple levels, doing the shadow work, working on my emotions, working on my literal physical body, as well as working on the things that I have planned. I plan on expanding War Council and really spending the time really doing these treatments, because I think it's important for what we do. It's a very dope show. Y'all are super dope people, and I love all of you. You're like, all of y'all are so fucking dope, and that's like, sometimes I can't believe how blessed I am to be in an environment where I can really talk like through my heart and through my spirit in order to really connect to other people who rock with me. Like I say Soul Tribe for a reason, because you can't fuck with everybody. You just can't. You just can't. I learned a lesson today. Today I learned a lesson. And I said, oh shit. I was like, oh shit, I just learned something. And it's crazy, because sometimes the heat comes from places you don't suspect. But more importantly, some of the best things happen when you actually come together with that. So it's about to be 12 o'clock now. We're going to manifest. We're going to grow. We're going to do everything else. I'm going to do projects. I'm going to get the soundtrack. I'm going to get this mixtape done. I'm going to get the companion book. I'm going to put out Verbal Hieroglyphics Part 1 all over again. It's going to be some old work, but who cares? And I'm going to do a new book just because I can. And then I'm going to do stuff with The Drip and make sure The Drip gets itself out there. And new stuff, new things, new classes, new people, new things, but also take care and cherish the old ones and make sure that everything stays connected. So that's my wish for 2022. I thank y'all for coming out to War Council on a 50 Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. It's been super dope. I love you guys. Have a happy new year. I wish the best for you. I want you to win. I want you to always win and to always be at your best, because y'all are super fantastic. I love you just as much as God, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. All right, but we're going to hang out because I know it's going to hang up any minute. So, all right, peace out, y'all. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Thank you for
your
counsel. Super dope. Thank y'all. Y'all are amazing and incredible people always.